Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, here in Benton Harbor, Michigan, nobody will believe our justice system. Every single day, it is something. In the American criminal justice system, justice here in Berrien County is totally absent. There is no such thing as justice here in Berrien County or in America for the poor. The criminalization of the United States citizens, the criminalization of the people in Benton Harbor for the poor is now one of America's largest industrial prison, has been privatized, inmate compromised, cheap labor for big corporations. We're fighting now. We're fighting also for the juvenile lifers. Charles Lewis, several of the people that's in prison today. Bring them home. Bring them home. Bring them home. Just recently, we had a body pulled out of the lake. And it's been 9 bodies pulled out of the lake. But it's really worse than that. Let me say this to you. There has been 55 unsolved murders in Benton Harbor. That's right. 55 unsolved murders. Benton Harbor, 4 square miles, less than 10,000 people. 55 unsolved murders. Some of these murders, the last people to see them alive has been police officers, officers of the law. And nobody says nothing. We're asking the FBI come in. And if you're listening, which I'm pretty sure you might be, we're asking you to do a complete and thorough investigation of some of the murders that had occurred here in the city of Benton Harbor. That's right. We get no justice here in Berrien County. We get no justice here in the state of Michigan. We get no justice here in America. 55 unsolved murders. McGinnis, Dwayne Foster, known as Freeze Cup, U.S. Jones, Rudy Bowman, Arthur Bland, Kenneth Pritchard, Denise Centuria Orr, Bobby Swift, Yvette Rice, Ramona Jones, Willie McGee, Russell Sales, Stephen Smith, William Edward Hurst, Joshua Hutchinson, Darius Wimbley, Aaron Allen, Jason Jordan, better known as Gator, Lisa Eisen, Kenneth Martin Jr., Richard Street, Diane Carter, Mary Esther Jones, Delois Young, Amelia Boyd, Martell Walker Hadley, Trent Patterson, Devon Jackson, Timothy Bulldog Allen. He was found with his penis cut off and his brain. But according to the police, no foul play. He was last seen by two St. Joseph police officers. No foul play. Dwayne Flowers, he was found in the river with weights on his leg, but no foul play, according to the police department. Karen Penny Morris, Morin, Arthur Partee, Latrona McAdoo, Harold Jackson, Trayvon Richards, Carolyn Miles, Alonda Brown, Nino Swanigan, Robert Boogie Wright, Willie Lewis Perkins, Rodney Bear Boyles, Linda Miles, Terry Maybe, Lawrence Bigelow Martin, Pat Gibson, Troy Kaler, Toby Williams, Lewis Perkins, Johnny Curtis, Kim Gibson, Ashley Clark, Jerry Noseman Sanders, Morris Gross, Johnny Morris, Stephen Kraft, Davati Holmes, Norris Maybe, Shamika Hitt. She was found dead in Hall Park. 55 people. Unsolved murders. We have a serial killer loose here in Benton Harbor. And most of these people was last seen by police officers from St. Joseph, Michigan. No investigation, no nothing. It always no foul play. Man walking, a man had his penis cut off, his braid cut off, no foul play. A man who was weighed down with stones tied to his legs, no foul play. See, when you black here in America, there is no investigation. We contacted the FBI. The FBI claimed that this is out of their jurisdiction and that it has to be requested by the Benton Harbor Police Department. And the Benton Harbor Police Department is not and will not request that the FBI come in. It's amazing. Who would believe it? Who would believe that 55 bodies, unsolved cases, and they all listed as no foul play? Even one guy was shot in the back. He said no foul play. I mean, it's not funny. I'm not laughing at that because this is, to me, it's not a laughing matter. But he was shot in the back. And they said, no foul play. What world are we living in? What world are we really living in? I say to my brothers and sisters, black, white, brown, red, yellow, pink, polka dot, we got to come together. There's only one way to stop this madness. It's more of us than them. But we got to change the way we do business. We got to, it's just right to do right. We got to do the right thing. No matter who it is, right is right and wrong is wrong. And that's what we have to do. We have to make sure that we're doing the right thing. On that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend from beautiful Chicago, who last night there was a murder in Chicago where the police shot down a young man in cold blood, the way I understand it, but I don't know nothing about that. Only thing I know that he was shot and killed. Let me bring in my good friend Robert. Robert, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Pinkney. How are you?
All right, I'm great, man. I'm great. I'm so happy to hear you, hear your voice. I'm excited today. I just read off the list of the 55 people of the unsolved murders of these people. One guy was shot in the back. And look, if I'm laughing, please forgive me. But it's
no.
I don't mean to, you know, trying to make a joke out of it. Yeah, the guy was shot in the back, and the police reported no foul play. I don't know how
the one that castrated him.
The one that castrated him, he was found in the lake.
He castrated himself.
Yeah, he castrated himself, cut his own braid off, and jumped in the river. You know,
right?
No foul play. And even the guy that was locked in the river down with cement bricks, he, no foul play again on him. So, you know, we living in a world where it's full of liars. Lying is acceptable, you know. But I don't blame them. I blame the people. The people have to step to the plate. They have to step up and say no more. They have to step up and say, well, we're going to get out here and do what needs to be done. And until they do that, Robert, is going to continue just like this. And you know, it's going to be some casualties. You know, we all know that. But, you know, somewhere we got to stop the bleeding. And the way I feel right now, I feel that, you know, that this thing's going to get worse before it get better. I don't really see it getting better. I don't see people stepping to the plate. I don't see people changing their routines. I think this thing is going to get ugly, Robert. I think it's going to get so ugly that people are going to – I mean, this country's going to be torn apart. And I think that there's something going on the blind side. But listen, that's not what I want to talk about. First of all, I want to talk about the uprising that they had in Chicago last night. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't. In fact, I've been on working on some other research this morning, and I hadn't had an opportunity to hear.
Mm-hmm.
In the latest news, but I know that for a fact you named 55 people.
Mm-hmm.
And are there any suspects in any of those murdered?
Well, two white officers was the last to see them alive.
Those are your suspects.
Yeah, those are our suspects. The last one, that Michael Williams, once again, two white officers were the last to see him alive, and they found him in the waters on Memorial Day, and according to them, no foul play. But the family, you see, one of the things I was trying to help the family get to the bottom. Matter of fact, I took him over to talk to the chief of police. We sat down and we talked. We talked for about 2.5 hours because I wanted to get more information. I wanted to make sure that what I'm saying is accurate and I'm not just out here spinning my wheels. And he kind of like confirmed when they found him, he had $800 on him. When he left the house, he had $800, so it wasn't a robbery. So what they're saying, more than anything else, he must have had something else of value on him, and they robbed him of that and didn't take the money, which makes no sense to me. But you know, it is what it is, and talking to them, they wasn't so happy to talk and give out information. Well, they, there was certain information. Well, you can, if you close the case, you can give all the information out. You know, because I know you already closed the case, because that's what y'all do. You know, they, you know, when it's a black person, they really don't investigate unless somebody comes in and confess. They put the light on him and he confessed he did it. I had to do it and all this kind of stuff. But we're talking 55 people, you know, and I just discovered this recently when we marched this second time. And I think it was June 30th, and during that process, we discovered that that it was 55 people that's been murdered here, and nobody arrested, nobody went to jail, nobody said nothing. I'm seeing there's a serial killer running around here, and the point is, and maybe several. It don't have to be just one. But it could be more than one, you know. And unfortunately for us, I believe it might be police officers.
You got more than one police officer there, so there's more than one.
Right. You know, each time was two. It may be a group of them. You see.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, the way it looked to me, it might be a group of people that actually doing this, and you know, that's why, you know, I try to tell people, be aware when you're going out. Make sure you know your surroundings and do what you need to do to protect yourself at all costs. Amazing, you know. People just, do stuff.
Yeah, let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
Do you have any people who are missing from Benton Harbor over there?
Yeah, we have people that's missing, but we don't have that list. You know, I
don't
have
list.
That list. No, I don't have that list, but I'm working on that list. I'm working on that list of people that's missing and have not been found. That would be my next list. Right now, these unsolved murders, to me, they seem awful important. And then also, the people that missing, they're very important because we don't know whether they dead or alive.
Well, you right know? Now, if they're missing more than because Benton Harbor is small over there, you can guarantee yourself that if they're missing and they've been missing more than a day or two, you won't find them alive. You can add them to that list of 55.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think at the end it'd be over 100. Well over 100,
okay.
Matter of fact. And
what that constitutes?
What's that?
Sorry. Mass murder.
Yeah, absolutely. What we're looking at, we're looking at a group of mass murder. But remember, this place is controlled by government officials who don't care nothing about the residents that live in, especially that lives in Benton Harbor, Michigan. And listen, this list is just for Benton Harbor. This list is not for Niles. Niles has a city that's maybe 60% African American, you know. And we got Buchanan. Buchanan is probably about 30-35% African American. So whoever doing this, whoever setting this up, you know, they have an idea and they may have is I'm just not sure yet. I'm just getting all the facts together. I'm taking them one at a time, trying to work with law enforcement. Matter of fact, I do have a someone in law enforcement who's working with me to try to see what we can come up with, how we can pin this thing down, and how much time we're going to be able to put into it. And like I told him, this is a big project. You know, we need to look at it from all angles and take them one at a time, because it should be a team of people that's doing this, but we don't have that luxury of having team of people to look into this.
Yeah, keep that person's name close to your chest. Don't put it out
no,
there.
No, absolutely.
He'll come up missing.
That out. Yeah, absolutely. I would not put that out there for nothing in the world, because they have ways of eliminating people who they think that may not be working with them. They love people who are willing to work with them against the people. They love that. So it's amazing when you sit down and think about stuff like that. It gives us idea of what we up against, not just here in Benton Harbor, Michigan, not just here in the state of Michigan, but around the country, you know. And I would imagine other states is pretty much the same thing, you know.
Yeah, this is going on all over the country. It's going on all over the country, but, you know, as they say about Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Mm-hmm. What happens in Michigan stays in Michigan. Same thing in Illinois. Everything stays where it is. If it's not spread abroad and spread loudly, no one's going to look at it to attack it as mass murder.
That's right.
Genocide. Right.
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're absolutely correct. You know, people don't look at it like that, because another thing, they cover up for each other. You see,
they will
lie, cheat, steal, kill, do anything for each other. And they don't really have to know each other for them to do something on that level. So, you know, we're fighting a real battle, Robert. We're fighting not just here in Benton Harbor, but we're fighting for the state of Michigan and the whole country, even Illinois, because that tremendous protest y'all had the other day blocking the Dan Ryan was a tremendous thing. You know, tens of thousands of people showed up for that. I love it. I love it when a plan come together and people get out and do things. I like it. I like it. You know,
yeah.
I like to see people out here working.
We have to be careful of that too, Rem Pinkney, because, you know, in that situation where they blocked the Dan Ryan, I have to look at that with a jaundiced eye. Now, Eddie Johnson is the superintendent for police here in Chicago. He supported Robert Realmo. You know who Robert Realmo is?
No, I do not.
He's the police officer who shot and murdered Quintonio Legria and Betty Jones, the young man wielding the baseball bat, and the grandmother who he shot through the door and killed her. Eddie Johnson was not for disciplining or suspending Realmo. You know, he said he should keep his job. But this man, it was a similar shooting in circumstance to Van Dyke and Laquan McDonald. Laquan McDonald was a young man who was shot 16 times.
Okay, I know a little Quintonio bit about
Legria,
that one, yes.
Yeah. Quintonio Legria, and the video show, they had two other police officers who filed false reports saying that they were injured by knife-wielding Laquan McDonald. He was at least 15 to 20 feet away from those officers. So he did not have any physical contact with them. And the same situation with Quintonio Legria. He was in the vestibule of a building. Officer Realmo was out on the lawn where he fired shots, sent a mass, and killed Quintonio Legria, and shot and killed the grandmother behind the door. And the jury, the week before last, there was a trial on this. And the jury listened to all the circumstances, all the evidence, and ruled on their verdict that this shooting was unjustified. But the way they find themselves innocent, they had the jury complete an interrogatory, a questionnaire, prior to the trial. And one of the questions was, was the officer in fear for his life? And they answered yes. So after the jury's verdict was the shooting was unjustified, the defense attorney brought this interrogatory out, the questionnaire, and gave it to the judge. And the judge vacated the jury's verdict. It said because the officer feared for his life, the shooting was justified. Now, they can find themselves innocent for cold-blooded murder. There was no reason for this man to fear for his life because he was not in proximity of Quintonio Legria or the grandmother. But they did award the grandmother's family $16 million.
Okay.
And Quintonio Legria, the jury awarded Quintonio Legria's family $1,050,000. But the judge pulled that back. He ruled that because the shooting was justified, there would be no monetary damages. So they, and that, I fear for my life is a tactic, is a, and she say, she, the judge stated that she cited a Supreme Court statute where, and the statute I'm sure is Tennessee versus Garner. In 1984, the Supreme Court received a case where a young man was murdered in Tennessee, shot in the back while he was fleeing.
Uh-huh.
And they the family sued and ended up in the Supreme Court. Supreme Court ruled that a suspect, once he's informed that he's under arrest or if he's fleeing, the police officer can use deadly force to stop him. So, and then in the cases where that is not true, I'm sure these attorneys have gotten together with this phrase, I fear for my life. And that justifies shooting when they're not, when it's cold-blooded murder. So those cases need to be pulled out and reviewed. Each and every one of them needs to be reviewed where this is an overextension, reaching, or abuse of that language that the Supreme Court put down, unless it was intended to do exactly what they're doing. Go ahead.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. So let me make sure I'm on point here. What you just said was that the jury awarded this guy $1,050,000. $1,050,000. And the judge, because of a questionnaire, the judge threw out the $1,050,000 award, and the reason they gave was that the police officer feared for his life. So he reversed that, the decision of the jury. So this white guy, this jury decision was null and void.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Wow, only in America, huh?
And that's exactly what happened. Not what I'm saying. It happened. It's in writing. It's in print.
Uh huh. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and just some of the stuff that they get away with, and then some of the stuff that we do too. We do some pretty stupid stuff too. You know, we can't get around that. You know, some of the stuff, and we complain about stuff that don't mean nothing to nobody, rather than standing up and fighting for what is right. There's nothing more important than taking a giant stand and standing. And we got to start doing things, start working together before somebody gets shot. We can't wait until somebody gets shot, then won't go out here and protest and stuff like that. We can't get things done then because you acting on feelings rather than passion enough to understand that you got to get out here and do stuff. Robert, we got to change the way we do business. We got to change the way we handling this. Because the way we handling it now, I think we're being misled. I think that the way they're doing stuff, and they're killing folks all over the country. They're killing people and using that phrase, I was afraid for my life. And they're using it, and it working, you know. And it's working. It's working like a charm. I was afraid for my life. Yeah. And it's
that is
it's,
a
lynching. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm gonna say that. That's a lynching phrase.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know. And mm-hmm. And but Robert, where do we go from here? What do we do? What do we need to do? What do we have to do? What can we do to possibly protect ourselves from these people? You have any ideas of what we can do and what we should do?
Well, it's an uphill battle. You know, when you have the kinds of social paradigms that we're living in, lack of jobs, lack of education, the disruption of families, the distractions they put out here in the media. When you get it, when children have access to nonsense like Jerry Springer or what's the other guy that comes on with these reality shows, American with Housewives of Atlanta, women pulling each other's hair out, or the preachers of L.A. That kind of nonsense. It's not educational. It's dumbing down of the population, of the populace. And you have this kind of remedial thought process in socializing with people, with each other, until it's on the road to destruction. Until we can get a handle on where we are, who we are, and what time it is, it's going to continue. I mean, and this is in the process of elimination now. And when you see the kinds of things that go on, and this goes back to the White House, to Richard Nixon's days. He stated then that we're going to drop guns and drugs in the black community and watch it disintegrate. And then the war on drug operation, the seeds were planted back then. He said we're going to associate marijuana with hippies. They're going after the drug war on drugs and heroin with blacks.
Yeah.
So you know what they did in L.A. That was the blueprint out there with the Bloods and Crips. They sent the cocaine and the guns and everything out there. And it's bedlam they created out there with the kinds of destruction that went on with people's lives. So, and it's spread across the country now. So until we can get a handle on that, and someone stated that, I think you stated earlier that, the FBI will not come in to investigate. The Justice Department will not come in to investigate unless invited by local law enforcement. But I do believe that you can, I need to research that. You can get 50 complaints, a minimum of 50 complaints, to have this put on a fast track, to have the federal government come in and investigate the corruption of public officials. And that's what you have there, not only in Benton Harbor, but across this country. Local public officials are corrupt. And there's a process where once they get elected, they go into some kind of transformation until they're not representing the people any longer. They're representing their pockets and family and friends.
And the sad part of that is that they believe it's okay. They believe it's all right. You know, how do our black brothers and sisters think that what they're doing is okay, knowing that not only are they destroying my children, they're destroying their own children. You know, they're destroying their future.
Well, it's normalized in media. It's normalized in movies. These reality TV shows they have on, that's normal. So they take it off the silver screen and take it to the streets. That is where in the kinds of corruption, they know how to find, they know where to find Saddam Hussein in a spider hole in the middle of the desert in Iraq. But here they don't know who's bringing the drugs, guns, and other illegal contraband in to corrupt society. Until we can get them to do their job, and that's what they need to do their job. They were appointed or elected or hired to do those jobs, and they're not doing it. Until we can get those jobs done, and if they can't do them, and if you were in a program or you someone hired you to do a job and you had low performance, you get rid of them. So this is what
needs
to be done, starting with these elected officials. They're not doing their job. They're failing at it. They have low performance scores, so we get rid of them.
That's right. You know, what we need to do is start grading them on what they have done. Did you bring any jobs in? Did you bring in any job for the community? Did you bring any summer jobs in for the children? Did you how did you increase the cash flow for the city? What have you done? Tell us what you have done. Being an elected official, what have you done? Is there anything you have done? Anything at all? Other than give land away.
You need to look at the kinds of funding that is given to foreign aid as to what they're doing for local or domestic programs. You get more money going out to foreign countries and foreign bodies to influence them than we have to educate and upgrade the people, the citizens right here in this country.
When you sit down, especially black people, they would do everything within their power to make sure black folks do not get a nickel from the bank. And here's another thing that, you know, that we as black people, we got to take charge of our own community. You know, we got to, you know, if we need heavy lifting equipment, we should be trained to do the heavy lifting equipment. If you don't want to train me, I'll find somebody who will train me, and I'll be able to work that. Because that's the thing, and we have no get up and go on issues of that nature. We, you know, if they said no, it's no. That means we go home and watch TV and cut that darn TV off too. That's another thing that, you know, that gets under my skin. We got our kids watching TV. We got our kids babysitting. I mean, our TV babysitting our children and different things like that. We need to get off our butt and start dealing. One of the things that I was talking to this guy, he was telling me the greatest power that white folks have over black folks is that we control everything they believe. You know, we control their education system. We tell the teachers what to teach and what not to teach. We told them to teach that history that we knew was not true. It was falsehood. We told them what level to take the children to. Paid them well, you see. Then he said, we also control the news media. We control the news. We put in the newspaper what we want in the newspaper. And then black folks have a history of believing the news media. And this rap music is another thing. This rap music is controlled by white folks. And black people don't control no rap music. It's controlled by white folks. Their entertainment, controlled by white folks. The land, controlled by white folks. You know, this allows them to emulate blacks with disinformation designed to instill the myth of white superiority, sell hatred to each other. And it's all in their minds. It's all in their minds. See, we don't even know, Robert, that we are fighting a war. This is a war, Robert. And we won't get out there and fight this war. It's going to get bloody. I'm telling you this. This thing going to get it's already bloody. I shouldn't say it's going to get bloody. It's going to get bloodier. Well, these folks is serious. There's no, you know, you go, a cop go out and kill somebody, so what? He might lose his job, but they'll raise $500,000 for him to live off of. They'll give him a pension.
That's right.
And they'll even find him another job. Maybe in another state. Maybe in another county. They'll find him another job. But the problem
that's
is
after they failed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. No,
go
I was
ahead.
Saying that's after they failed to get him his original job back. They'll fight it for at all costs to get him his original job back. And if not,
yeah,
like you pointed out, he'll get hired doing something else.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, when you told me about this judge overturning that money for the family, wow,
right.
That's, you know, and I'm almost positive that they're hidden to figure out a way how they're going to appeal that, because they got all kind of loopholes. You know, they're born with these loopholes. These are what they give them loopholes so they could beat us down, the people. See, but if the Mexicans, blacks, Puerto Ricans, people of color stood together, we could neutralize that. And another thing, too, black folks got to start building their own community up. We got to start with grocery stores, gas stations. We got everything that we need should be in walking distance. Everything. We shouldn't have to ride out to the township. We shouldn't have to ride out to the suburbs. We shouldn't have to ride out to the north side, to the east side. Everything we need should be in walking distance for people to go shop at. You know, that's a community. When you got a community, Robert, you have everything you need. You don't have the Arabs and the Indians dominating the community. You're spending your money and they're taking the money. They can't wait to get that money out. They have all kind of brick trucks coming, taking the money out of the community. And we don't say nothing. Well, I'll excuse it. Well, it's the closest store. Okay. As they drain your community, it is the closest store. What do you got to say about that? Or do you have anything to say about that? It amazed me when you think about it. I tell you that, you know, but Robert, I know that you have also read the book Choice. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about that. So, because a lot of people don't know about that book. But tell us as much as you want to tell us, or much as you can tell us. Start talking about it. I don't care where you start at.
Well, first of all, The Choice, written by Samuel F. Yett, Y-E-T-T-E, was written after he dissected the Kerner Commission report. And of course, we understand the Kerner Commission report was a report that summarized the conditions in this country after President Johnson in 1967 was given the thought process or the of thinking that the riots that were going, civil unrest that were going on across this country were headed up by the communists, that it was a conspiracy. But he placed former governor of Illinois, Otto Kerner, at the head of this commission to study the civil unrest. And after 8 months, they didn't take him a year, they created a document that pointed out the problems. They went from socialization, from jobs to housing. And they came back and to summarize what that report said. And it's summarized in the foreword of the book that the problems is not in the black community, which President Johnson was under the impression that was going on. And there was no conspiracy. They came back and said that there was no conspiracy. The problem is not in the black community, it's the white community who created the problems in the black community. So we created it, we condone it, and maintain it. And the question was, you have a choice. You can either assist the black community in coming out of the problems we created or get rid of them. And the choice was the word that Samuel Yett looked at, and he decided to title his book after that. And the choice is said that this black survival, they've chosen the latter choice to get rid of black people. And we can see it happening with all the 55 people, that's just in Benton Harbor, 55 people dead with no explanation. And then you have more who are missing just in Benton Harbor. But you multiply that exponentially around the country, and it's mass murder going on. And this is one of the things that Samuel Yett addressed in his book. He talked about the lack of jobs, the lack of resources in the black community. And it wasn't created, this was not done by the black community. It was created by the white community. And there was one congressman, and I can't recall his name, in the book. He suggested to Johnson that we just started executing black people, and in a few years, they'll forget about it. So
yeah.
That's in there. So when you and the process is, it's like the same as the natives who were here when they landed, when Columbus landed, and they were welcome on the land. And he showed, they showed these people, once the settlers came in, how to do agriculture. They had no idea. They were coming out of the cities and towns of Europe and brought here and dropped here. So they, the natives here showed them how to do agriculture, to hunt, to all the things. Now, once that was shown to them, they started to eliminate the natives who were here who showed them this because they wanted the land.
Mm.
And this is where we are. And they brought people in, black people, slaves in to work the land, to pick cotton, tobacco, and do other work. And once that has been done, the machines are doing this work now. They have unions which block black folk out, were created to prevent you from getting jobs. Once the jobs have been started to be created, so now we're at a point now where it's a process of elimination. So Chamiyet's book speaks to the atrocities that occurred over the years and up through to the 70s, which when his book was published in 1970. So Chamiyet's book, The Choice, The Question of Black Survival in America, that's the title of his book. So when we... right. So when you look
you
at
know,
that, and you, we,
go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I said
you
we studied when the book first came out in 1970, where there was a book club here headed up by Lou Palmer. He was a journalist here in Chicago, and
I know
former
who
congressman Gus, Lou Palmer and former congressman Gus Savage. We studied that and we said this is what's coming. You know, we need to prepare, and we're in a disaster, literal disaster, that the people have not been prepared for. And that goes across the board, whether you, as you say, black, white, polka dot, or whatever. The process of elimination is on. When they come up with these strange viruses and strange illnesses, salads being contaminated or your food being contaminated, that's going across the board. And black folk are at the top of the list for the process of elimination, but eventually it's going to work its way down the ladder.
You know, I want to say this too, you know, because when you think of the choice and you think about the Kerner report and the conclusion that they came to is so remarkable. Tell us about the conclusion that they came to. And I think my listening audience would like to know about that. We talk about the choice, but talk a little bit about the Kerner report, because that's really what the choice was talking about. It was talking about the Kerner report and several other things. But it, to me, that was one of the things that I highlighted. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, the Kerner report, as I stated earlier, dealt with the issues of the civil unrest across the country. And there was a commission. The commission was officially titled, I don't have it before me, was to study the civil unrest across America. And those were the riots that were occurring when they were tearing up Newark, New Jersey, San Francisco, Chicago, Detroit. And once they, those were also overwhelming in during the Vietnam War period, and it had the country... and even President Johnson perplexed on what to do about it, what was causing it. So, and I'm sure that J. Edgar Hoover, who was the head of the FBI at the time, convinced him that this was a communist plot. But once they conducted their investigation from that commission and discovered that it was not a conspiracy, it was actual conditions that black folk were placed under. Not having jobs, not having access to capital, not having the kind of community development that was going on in other communities. So people were upset, frustrated, and they started to tear the cities up. And that's where, and then they pointed out, that report goes through so much. It talks about the population growth and how in 10 years, the urban communities would be majority black. So they moved to divert that, to get the the population in the urban communities, Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, Boston, San Francisco, reduced, and it's still being done today. I mean, here in Chicago, the black population since Harold Washington died in 1987 has been reduced to, some say, 200,000 blacks, but we say it's close to a million have been taken out of the city of Chicago. Because they, 2 years ago, the mayor here shut down 52 schools in the black community. Because if you don't have the population to attend those schools, then you don't need them. They, those buildings would sit there. And some schools only had, they would hold 2,500 students, only had 8, 10, 12 students in them. So that's where we are today. Because the population has been reduced based on this gentrification and genocide process. And that's what needs to, that's the correct language. Crimes against humanity. And the United Nations declared that. And if you want to take your plight to an outside source, outside of Michigan, outside of Illinois, Pennsylvania, wherever you have the population that has been subjugated or is in threat of being eliminated, this needs to be spoken about across the globe, around the world. Not just here in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is going to, they're appointing people now who will do the bidding for whoever appointed them. So you have a conservative Supreme Court now, so you're going to get conservative views and actions coming out of it.
And even, you know, even conservative, liberal, basically what they're against us. It don't make no difference whether they're Democrat, Republican, they're against us. We have nobody to actually speak for. The Black Caucus is probably the biggest joke that's ever been told, you know. But we give them a free pass because they're black. We can no longer give them a free pass. I was listening to Minister Louis Farrakhan last night. Talking about Jesse Jackson, talking about how far we done come and we done made it now and all. And Mr. Farrakhan said, we have not made it. Matter of fact, he said, we're worse off today than we ever been. You see, you just don't see it because you on the other side of that fence. He said, because we're in a position today that we don't want to be in. He said, they're killing us every day. Nobody's saying nothing. How could we be better off? College, you know, it's harder now to get in college than ever before, and if you get a student loan, you owe so much money when you graduate that you back working for the man. You working and you practically a slave. So he said that you have to help me understand what you said. He said, I'm not here to discredit you for what you said. I'm just want to deal with facts. And I thought that was so powerful. He said, I just want to deal with facts. And that's what I want to do. I want to deal with facts. And I know that who these people are. Once you know who these people are, and if you don't do nothing about it, then you're no better than they are. You know, and that's where we at today. You're no better than these people are if you don't want to. We got to change. You know, we got to change and start thinking positive how to build our own community up. And we got to do it. We got to change. And it's something we can do, Robert. And the book Choice is a great book. It's a tremendous book. It's very enlightening. It's something that we need, and something that we have to have at this time. So we're just being focused, and we're not getting sidetracked, and looking forward to the future, And to me, it's a no-brainer. I don't see how we can be this naive to think that, you know, things just going to get better or they just going to allow things to get better. Anything that you can't take, it's it's not going to happen. If they don't, if they think for one moment that you're not strong enough to take justice, you're never going to get it. If you're not strong enough to take housing, you're never going to get it. And the food. You're not strong enough that they think that you might be able to correct the way food is grown. You're not going to get it. You know. Only thing
I know you
that,
saw the article.
Say that again.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. When you mentioned about food, I was going to say, I know you I saw the article last week where black farmers were given fake seeds in the South, and the seeds were not yielding any profitable or substantial fruits or vegetables or produce. And
mm-hmm.
they discovered that it was a deliberate scheme against black farmers to give them seeds that would not germinate.
Absolutely. And to you see, it's just another way that, you know, anything that this country do, you better be aware, question what they do, because this country is a country that's evil and wicked. You know, they're evil. You know, they know exactly what they're doing. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about, you know, they don't care about nothing. The only thing they care about is that green dollar. And they're just greedy. They want it all. $21 trillion missing from the Pentagon. $21 trillion. How are you going to have $21 trillion missing? And nobody's saying the media. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, someone should be going to jail for that. Should be in prison.
Yeah.
Or even executed. That is a major, major...
That's treason there, right there.
Malfeasance going. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But nobody goes to jail. Nobody do nothing. No matter what they do, nobody goes to jail. Nobody, the only person... In this thing, they done indicted 12 Russians. Like, that's big news. That's the stupidest stuff I ever heard in my life. You know? Like I'm living in Russia. I'm going to come to the United States so you can arrest me and put me in jail. How stupid can this country be? Propaganda,
yeah,
that's all it is.
That's, you know, that's what they call smoke and mirrors. It's only enough
right.
to give you an illusion.
That's all it is.
Right.
Yeah, that's all it is. We look, the Russians ain't just start getting into the elections. They've been doing it for years. They've been doing that stuff for years.
Well, the Russians, the Soviet Union, know that this country was in cahoots in the downfall of the Soviet Union. So
yeah.
what they're doing, they know this, and this is what they're doing. They're plotting to do the same thing here. So,
right.
as they say, as old folks used to say, what goes around, you finish it.
It comes around, and that's for sure.
There you go.
What goes around comes around, and the Russians have proved. Right now, they're the most powerful country in the world. They, you know, and people don't give them credit, but they are. Putin is a monster. Oh, you got this guy Trump kissing his butt, you know. I mean, he just kiss it. I don't care. Putin don't kiss it. I don't care where you kiss it at, you know. Everybody know that, you know, that the election was actually stolen. But the point was, they didn't just start doing it. They've been doing it. They've been doing it. They, you know, so stop all that other bull. This is something new. This is nothing new. But we have to make sure that we're doing what we're doing to survive. Because they saying right now it's too many people on Earth. Too many. Too many
yeah.
people on this planet. And, you know, we just have to wait and see what's going to happen. Well, listen, Robert, first of all, I want to thank you so much for being on the show and with your knowledge, your history. I'm truly excited to have a guy of your nature on the show. You are a remarkable guy, and we love you very much. And we got to stay focused. Let's do what we have to do and move this thing to a whole different level. And everybody out there should get the book, The Choice. That is a wonderful, wonderful reading. And it's easy reading. That's the thing. You know, it's easy reading. But we're there. But listen, Robert, I don't have any more time. Thank you so much for being on. God bless you. God keep you. And we'll talk to you very, very soon. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me.